WABC, New York. This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Around the country, around New York, the stories you're talking about, the stats you need.
30 seconds to go, third down and goal from inside the one, and they hurry up. Empty backfield, and they're going to throw it. And it's a touchdown for Josh Reynolds.
The edge you need.
It's Peterson, big roll, touchdown!
You won't forget.
Intercepted. Devin McCourty. In stride. Running past Lyman. Anderson with a blocker in front. Can't get to him. How about an 85-yard pick six?
This is Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Here's the second and 10 coming up for Chicago.
He's there. Everybody in the secondary, he goes, and he will not be caught. Touchdown, Chicago.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
High above Madison Square Garden, 17 floors above the floor where the Knicks and the Rangers play. It is, in fact, a Sid Sports Sunday for a week 9 of the National Football League, and no Giants this week. They find themselves at a real lousy 1-7. They've got the bye week. They'll take on the San Francisco 49ers next week. We do have a big Jet-Dolphin rivalry going down in Miami in a couple of hours. We very rarely, if ever, start Sid Sports Sunday with an interview. We usually go right to the stringers and get you ready for NFL action. But today in New York City is one of the biggest events of the year. In fact, my family, we think it's the biggest. For the fourth time, my beautiful wife Danielle running the New York City Marathon, her 22nd marathon overall. As soon as this show is over, I'm grabbing my two kids, Ava and Gabriel, and running over to the grandstand seats to watch Danielle and thousands of others finish this amazing race. It's a gorgeous, brisk day in New York City. One of the folks that will be running this race today is one of the best football players in the history of New York. In fact, I'll tell you this, between 2004 and 2006, this guy had 2,000-yard seasons every year. Between 1997 and 2006, he distinguished himself as the best offensive player, certainly running back, maybe in the history of the New York Football Giants. Saquon Barkley's got big shoes to fill. Taking over for this guy, the great number 21, Tiki Barber, live this morning at the New York City Marathon, getting ready to run it himself. Good morning, number 21.
How are you, Sydney? I'm doing great, man. And good luck to your wife. I'll see her around the finish line, I hope. My wife will be there as well, so maybe we connect afterwards.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Now what number marathon is this for you?
This is number 9 total for me overall. I've done Boston, Big Sur, Jerusalem, which was absolutely amazing, and the New Jersey Marathon outside of New York. And this will be my 5th New York City Marathon. So I love this one. The city is amazing. You know, going through all the boroughs, even though we're only in Staten Island for a half a second, the bridge. But Brooklyn is amazing, and in Queens, and going up through Manhattan is where you refine your energy about 17 miles in, and you pull through Harlem and come back into Manhattan. It's I love it. I love what this represents. I love the diversity, and I love the inclusion that this marathon presents.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I know for me as a spectator, we make it a family vacation, Tiki, every time. I've gone to Big Sur like you. I've gone to Paris. I've gone to London. My three favorites are London, Boston, and New York. The most difficult is probably Big Sur. But Danielle does tell me those rolling hills in Central Park, they become very, very tough come about mile 24. Where does Tiki Barber start to feel it?
Well, I feel it going up First Avenue. I sweat a ton, Sid. So, but by mile 17, I'm exhausted. I've lost all of my nutrients. The sodium is low, and I start cramping. But you're right. Once you get to those rolling hills, which is very similar to the struggles I had at Big Sur, you're going up, and you're like, all right, I'm good. But then you're flying downhill, and it's really bad for your quads. So by mile 24, I'm screaming at myself saying, why in the heck am I doing this again? I'm never doing another marathon ever in my life. And then I roll around Central, go down, Central Park South, come up into Central Park, and I'm like, I love this. I can't wait to do the next one. So it gets me every year.
I know. I mean, Danielle has threatened to retire a million times. She's done Big Sur twice. I tell you this, I'll never forget one Sunday afternoon, I was down in Miami, ended up getting a fight with my co-host, former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie, because I started my Miami show the next morning not talking about a Dolphin win over the Buffalo Bills, but rather a Tiki Barber 200-yard effort against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, and he got pissed at me. And I'm thinking to myself, what is more difficult for Tiki, 200-yard days in the NFL or one of these marathons?
Yes. To be honest with you, it's these marathons. The 200-yard days, they all were kind of special. I mean, I could recount all of them for you, Sid, because they feel like they're vivid in my mind. But the first one was against the Eagles, and it was special because we needed to win the game to get into the postseason. But I kept fumbling. I think I fumbled three times in that game, but wow, ended up having 200 yards. And in overtime, Coach Fossil gave me the rock five times out of six plays. We kicked the winning field goal, so he had faith in me. A couple of them came against the Redskins, including my last one, which was my last regular season game, and that was special because I grew up a Redskins fan. But that Kansas City game that you're talking about, I remember it vividly because it was freezing.
Yep.
And everybody had regular cleats on, but they wouldn't dig into the ground. So our equipment trainer came up to me and said, "Wear your nub turf shoes, and you'll get traction." And so I had traction. If you remember that game, I was cutting all over the place,
yep,
making people miss.
Yep.
But in football, I always had help. David Deal was one of these guys who would come up to me and say, "Teek, you can count on me." Before every game, "Teek, you can count on me." And I knew I could with him and Richie Soyberg and Sean O'Hara, Kareem McKenzie, and obviously Chris Snee. Those guys took care of me. When I'm running a marathon, Sid, it's me, you know? I mean, sometimes I get encouragement from the crowd, and, people I'm running with, it picks you up a little bit, but it's just you. It's a singular event in a collective environment, which is why I've come to love marathoning so much.
Now, the weather today seems to be perfect, Tiki. It's sunny. It's in the 50s. You never want the marathon to be too hot. We've experienced that in California and London, and you really don't want any precipitation either. So it looks like, Tiki, the weather, talking about being cold against Kansas City, the weather looks to be perfect today, yes?
You're right. 40 to 50 is perfect for me because, like I said, I sweat. When it's this cold, I don't sweat that much. But you're right. There's no precipitation. The sky is beautiful. It's clear. I encourage anybody who's listening to you, if you're close to the route, come out and cheer us on. It's a perfect day to be sitting beside and handing out some encouragement to a lot of these 55,000 runners I think are going to be here today, Sid. But the weather is absolutely ideal, and so I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of undertrained for this one because I had got so busy during the summer, but I feel amazing, and I think that's half the battle.
Tiki Barber. By the way, Tiki does the best sports show. It's not on in New York necessarily. It's on television on CBS because of WFAN, and this is not a – well, it is a shot. It's a shot at the FAN, guys. Tiki Barber and Brandon Tierney do the best sports show. I've told Tiki this before. I'm not blowing smoke up his butt. They do the best sports show that I've seen in New York. Check them out on the CBS network in the afternoons every single day. Two quick ones on the Giants. One more in the marathon. We'll let you get ready for the race. Giants have the bye week. Everybody's talking about it. Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I know you got to be careful with Eli. We've been here before, Teak.
but it's not even necessarily that anymore, Sid. It's just, I mean, Eli's immobile. It's not his fault. He's been very successful being somewhat immobile quarterback, and he's used his escapability at times, including in that 07 Super Bowl, to win. But with the way that defenses have changed and become much more aggressive and active, it's hard to have an immobile quarterback, especially when our offensive line, or the Giants' offensive line, is I was going to say banged up, but it's
it
not
sucks.
Even that.
Just say it sucks, Teak.
ineffective. Ineffective is the best way to put it. You need some mobility. And so the end is here. It's near for Eli, and it sucks to say that because that's such a storied career. I just hope that as this season winds down and what looks like it's going to be a little bit of a lost season, that he gets the respect that he's due for the amazing career that he's had.
I know the guy that you helped along has Saquon Barkley. When the Giants drafted him out of Penn State, you guys became good buddies.
Yeah.
Pictures of you guys all over town, steakhouses and clubs. And he loves you. And listen, you are the best running back in the history of the organization. You had some of the most amazing seasons I've ever seen any running back have. So he should be looking up to you. And at least looks this way halfway through the season, Tiki. You know, for all the guys out there like Serby saying, the Giants should have drafted a quarterback. That's nonsense. Barkley has been every bit as advertised and probably the best rookie in this class.
There's no doubt about it, Sid. And look, there's only a couple of opportunities that you're ever going to get to draft a generational type player, an explosive type player, especially if you're the Giants, because perennially we're not that bad. You know what I mean? We're not drafting at the top of the draft, even though we may do it again this year. And I think the opportunity, the belief, was that we haven't have an opportunity. The Giants have an opportunity to compete for something this season. Now, let's face it, they were wrong, but it's okay to be wrong. You know what I mean? They believed with Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and now adding Saquon, that with a remade offensive line that was supposed to be better than it is, that we take a shot at the postseason. They were wrong. Sometimes you're wrong. You can't vilify someone because of what Sam Darnold is doing in New York or what Baker Mayfield is doing in Cleveland. I love Saquon. I think he's going to be a dynamic impact player for the entirety of his career. He has an advantage over what I did when I came in because I was positioned as a third down back. I was the next Dave Meggett.
Right.
Physically, exactly.
But the Giants had Ron Dean back then, and then you were supposed to be the backup, but you turned out to be a much better football player.
Yeah, I mean, it happened, because thanks to Sean Payton. But Saquon has all of the physical tools. He's smart. He's humble. He's inquisitive, so he wants to learn. I mean, everything you could ask for in a superstar, he is. And I think he's going to show that for many years to come. And hopefully, down the line, he gets some of my records. He at least gets close to my records.
I like the kid, but I want you to keep the record. 60 seconds to go. Again, Tiki Barber running the New York City Marathon today. I think you said it's your fifth time running this marathon, ninth overall.
Fifth one.
Weather is great. So quickly here, what did you eat this morning? I know Danielle didn't eat much. I mean, she's got that goo all over the place and a couple of Gatorades. What does Tiki do to get prepared hours before the race?
Well, you know New York City Roadrunners takes care of me, Chris Weiler, and the Team for Kids, which I'm one of the ambassadors. So we have a nice little spread here in the VIP area. I had some quiche and some fruit and lots of fluid. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this one. There's a lot of great people here. I see the wheelchair racers getting ready to go here in a little bit.
Nice.
The energy is as high as it always is.
What are you looking for? Don't get crazy. Don't tell me an hour and a half. What is a realistic, legitimate time Tiki Barber wants to do this marathon in today?
4:25 is what I'm looking for,
right,
Sid.
I
did the Brooklyn. I did the Brooklyn half earlier this year, and I crushed it. I ran 1:42 or 1:43 or something like that.
Wow.
Which was flying. And so I'm looking just to be conservatively about 4:20 to 4:25.
Well, good luck. I think you're going to do that. I think you'll do even better. Tiki, you know I love you. We've been very, very good friends for many years, and you've gone from being a great football player to a great marathon runner and, more importantly, a great ambassador for this great city, New York City. We love you, pal. Good luck out there. I'll see you later.
Appreciate you, Sydney. Love you too, brother.
Take care. The great Tiki Barber, former football giant, now marathon runner, New York City. Go out there to help these people out today. Hand out water. Clap. It's a tough, tough race. Trust me, they need your help. More of Sid Sports Sunday right after these short messages.
77 WABC.
Spectacular.
Tell by my attitude that I most definitely need from.
Come on, baby. Huge day for New York City. 48th marathon. We did miss one, don't forget. What year was it? 2014? Was that Sandy? When the marathon was actually canceled. But outside of that, huge event and a great day for our city, the New York City Marathon. Hey, by the way, Tuesday's Election Day. The best morning show in New York is the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, which comes your way right here, 6 to 10 a.m. each and every morning on 77 WABC. We've got six six folks running on Tuesday locally. Some of the folks that you know, of course, Shel Farley, she's running against that creep, Kristen Gillibrand, she'll be on tomorrow. Mark Molinaro, he's running against that creep, Andrew Cuomo, he'll be on tomorrow. Our dear friend Tom Sullivan, running in District 15 in Queens, you want a hint for him, he'll be on. Peter King will be on tomorrow as well. So six running on the Bernie and Sid in the morning show comes your way 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. But it is an NFL Week 9. We did speak to Tiki moments ago. And let's do this, folks. We like to call this on Sid Sports Sunday, Around the League.
Hunt, hunt, hunt.
Around the League, brought to you today by, once again, my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Upgrade your boiler with a 95% efficient Peerless Boiler Combi and start saving on your heat and hot water bills today. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, put in your zip code, and you'll find a friendly dealer near you. Remember, Peerless Boilers, America's best built boilers. Big rivalry still in the National Football League. They haven't been all that great lately. Not exactly the days of Greasy against Namath or Marino against O'Brien. But Jets and Dolphins still draw. Jets find themselves really struggling now at 3-5. Miami, they're 4-4. They've dropped two in a row as well. Yesterday was a terrible rainy day in Miami. You may have seen Miami-Duke last night was a complete mess. The NFL actually has concerns about the field today in Miami between the Jets and the Dolphins. Amber Wilson, my dear friend, is one of the co-hosts on the morning show, a place I used to work on 790 The Ticket in Miami. It's the 3-5 Jets at the 4-4 Miami Dolphins in North Miami. Here's my friend, Amber Wilson.
Good morning, Sid, from Hard Rock Stadium, where we're getting a little break from those feels like 100-degree temperatures today. It will be a mid to low 80s kind of day at kickoff, so November is officially here for us in South Florida. There are concerns about the field after yesterday's weather, however. Yesterday, Duke and the University of Miami played at Hard Rock Stadium in pouring rain, and the field was an absolute mess. This may mark the second straight year the Jets are playing on a sloppy, muddy field at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins will be without starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill again, and we're getting so used to saying that over the last couple years down here, it feels like protocol. Brock Osweiler will be under center. DN Charles Harris and cornerback Cordarius Hankersley are also out. Tight end A.J. Darby, cornerback Xavien Howard, and wide receiver Kenny Stills are questionable and needed by this Dolphins team. On the Jets side, tight end Neil Sterling is out with a concussion. Linebacker Kevin Pierre-Lewis is doubtful. The Jets' wide receiving core has been dropping like flies today. Wide receivers Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and Andre Roberts are questionable. Running back Eli McGuire is coming off the IR, but no official word on if he'll play. Both of these injured AFC East divisional rivals are coming off a couple-game losing streak, and they both need to win this one to prove that their seasons have any hope left. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Amber Wilson. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Thank you, Amber. Last look, by the way, the Dolphins, a 2.5-point home favorite. That total on that sloppy field is about 43. Here is the best game of the day. There's no doubt about it. One of the best games in a very long time. The lone unbeaten team in the National Football League, the 8-0 Los Angeles Rams, are in New Orleans taking on a red-hot Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They've won six in a row, and every weekend it seems like Drew Brees is breaking records. 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time start. It's the best game of the day. Josh Kassenstein from NOLA.com, a sports reporter in New Orleans, is at the Superdome. It's the undefeated Rams taking on the red hot Saints. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Sid. Yeah, I'm in New Orleans, and the Saints obviously host the marquee matchup of the day against the Rams. And fortunately for them, since 2006, they are 7-1 against teams that come to the Superdome 3-0 or better. So they will obviously try to knock off the 8-0 Rams and take midseason supremacy in the NFC. Obviously, huge playoff implications in this game on both sides. For the Saints, one of the keys will be the offensive line blocking the interior pass rush from the Rams with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. Drew Brees can struggle if there are guys in his face, but that has not been a problem this year as the Saints have given up the fewest sacks in the NFL so far. Meanwhile, their number one run defense will be tested against Todd Gurley. So far, I'm not sure if it's smoke and mirrors because the only top-tier running back they've faced is Saquon Barkley, but Todd Gurley obviously presents a much different test. Meanwhile, their pass defense has been struggling pretty much all year, whether it was the number two cornerback Ken Crawley, the nickel cornerback P.J. Williams, I think the Rams will definitely test them with Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Woods. So the Saints defense will probably need to create a couple turnovers to keep that explosive Rams offense off the field. Meanwhile, the Rams defense hasn't been tested like this. They struggled against the Packers last week, but I think the Saints present a totally different test because of their balanced offense with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. And then Michael Thomas has been quiet the last few weeks, but I wouldn't be surprised if Drew Brees tries to find a way to get him involved early and often. And then Sean Payton obviously wants this game against Sean McVay because McVay has been the hot new thing among the coaching circle, but Sean Payton has been masterful this season running this offense, and I think he still wants to show that, you know, he's still got it over the younger McVay.
All right, thank you, Josh. There it is. The 8-0 Rams at the 6-1 Saints. By the way, take it from me, put it in the bank right now. The Rams will suffer their first loss of the season today. They're not beating Drew Brees in New Orleans. Another great rivalry. How about this one? All the reports saying that John Harbaugh, he is on the hot seat and big trouble in Baltimore. Ravens started the season red hot. They now find themselves at 4-4 and really struggling. Who comes to town? The red hot 4-2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe Flacco, remember, beat the Steelers a couple of weeks ago. Really took a shot at that Steeler defense. So there's some chalkboard material here for the Steelers at the Ravens. Edward Lee, Baltimore. Baltimore's son is at M&T Bank Stadium as we speak. The great AFC North rivalry, the Ravens at the Steelers. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. As you mentioned earlier, you have two teams heading in opposite directions. The Baltimore Ravens have dropped their last two games, while the Pittsburgh Steelers have won three straight. I think the biggest concern here for the Baltimore Ravens is that they're going to play this game without their two starting offensive tackles. Ronnie Stanley and James Hurst are both out for this game. Normally, that would mean that the Ravens could rely on their running game, maybe take some pressure off of Joe Flacco. However, they have not been able to get their running game in sync with Alex Collins. They did acquire Ty Montgomery on Tuesday, but it remains to be seen how much playing time he will get and how quickly he's acclimated to the playbook. Normally, you would need that running game and take some pressure off of Joe Flacco, but if they can't get it in gear, then they need Joe to throw. Flacco for more, that brings T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree into the game plan in terms of attacking using their pass rush. So this is a significant concern for the Baltimore Ravens. Defensively, they're going to have some problems, I think, with James Conner. James Conner looks much different from the running back that they saw in week four. I'm sorry. He's playing much better, running with more authority. He's finding the gap, making people forget about Le'Veon Bell. He's going to be a difference maker, I think, in this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And naturally, if they can get James Conner going, then they have Ben Roethlisberger finding receivers like Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster downfield. So this is going to be a significant game, especially for the Baltimore Ravens. They need a win to stay relevant in the AFC North and to go into their bye week feeling a little bit confident and with a winning record.
All right, thank you, Edward. At last look, by the way, the Ravens are a 2-point small home favorite over the Steelers. This may be one to grab the underdog. Big one today in Washington. Don't look now, but the Redskins are running away with the NFC East. They find themselves at 5-2 after beating the Giants last week, and they welcome an Atlanta Falcon team into town that's playing much better the last couple of weeks, but still find themselves under 500 at 3-4. We go to Scott Allen, Washington Post at FedEx Field. It's the 3-4 Falcons at the first place, 5-2 Washington Redskins. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sid. Good morning from Landover, where the Redskins look to make it 4 in a row against the Falcons. Now, Washington bolstered its already stingy defense this week by trading for Packers safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and just in time, too, as the Redskins secondary figures to be tested early and often by that third-ranked passing attack in Matt Ryan. The Redskins' recipe for success during this three-game winning streak has been pretty simple. A heavy dose of the 33-year-old Adrian Peterson, forcing turnovers and defense. But Peterson could find things a little bit tougher today against Atlanta without all-pro left tackle Trent Williams clearing the way, as Williams will miss the game with a thumb injury. The Redskins are installed as 2-point favorites at home, and weather shouldn't be a factor in this one, with partly sunny skies and temperatures in the mid-50s forecasted for kickoff. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Okay, last one. Listen, the game of the day is the Rams at the Saints, but this one doesn't fall too far behind. Later on tonight, when you get Aaron Rodgers going up against Tom Brady, that is a pretty good matchup. The Packers, they're 3-3-1. They played the Rams very tough last week, but they did lose out in Los Angeles. In New England, where now the Patriots are red hot, find themselves at 6-2 and running away with the AFC East. It's the Packers at the Patriots. Dakota Randall, W-E-E-I, is in Foxborough for the big one later on tonight. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Good morning, Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Sid. I'm here in Foxborough. The Patriots will host the Packers in one of the games of the week. All the talk, as you said, is about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. We're meeting for just the second time in their careers. Rodgers beat Brady back in 2014 at Lambeau. But much has changed with these teams over the last few years. New England is 6-2 per usual, but Bill Belichick's defense is one of the worst in the NFL. And the 3-3 Packers rank in the middle of the road in most defensive categories. That said, this game should be an absolute shootout. Brady has his usual weapons, Gronk, Edelman, James White, and an improving Josh Gordon, while Rodgers will air it out to Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham, and Randall Cobb. A couple injury notes to keep in mind. The Packers will be without receiver Geronimo Allison, while Patriots rookie back Sony Michel is questionable with the knee. And Gronkowski, who's been banged up all year with various injuries, is expected to play, though there is some pessimism entering kickoff. Weather expected to be in the low 40s in New England, and the Patriots enter the game as 5.5-point home favorites over the Packers. And again, I'm Dakota Randall for Sid Sports Sunday. Back to the studio, Sid.
Hey, thank you so much, Dakota. Still lots more to come coming up next. He's one of the most legendary play-by-play voices in the history of any sport. I don't care if you're talking about golf, NFL, college basketball, the Olympics. He's got a brand new book out, The Great Vern Lundquist. Also, don't forget, next hour, Dolphins and Jets, we'll talk to Joe Klecko, the greatest of all the New York Jets. Plus, Danny B with the picks, Brandon Lee with fantasy. We're just getting started on this New York City Marathon Sunday, live from the WABC studios. It's Sid Sports Sunday, and we'll come back with Vern Lundquist right after these short messages.
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Every Sunday, New York sports and more, more. 77 WABC and the free WABC radio app.
Let's get out here with a W.
Hey!
A few weeks ago on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, we had the fortunate opportunity to bring on a guy that, when you talk about the greatest play-by-play guys ever, he's right there, right at the top of the list. And I grew up with Marv Albert and all the greats. Vern Lundquist is as good as anybody ever. His new book is out, Play-by-Play, Calling the Wildest Games in Sports, from SEC football to college basketball, the Masters, and more. He was great with me and Bernie, so he's going to be great here today on Sid's Sports Sunday. Here he is, Vern Lundquist. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning, Sid. I am suitably humbled.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but it's all true. You know that. You've covered it all, whether it's Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods in golf, SEC football, the Tonya Harding story in the Olympics. But I got to take you back, because you did cover the Dallas Cowboys for a while, Vern, and you were there in 1963 when President Kennedy was assassinated. Are you ready for a trivia question?
Well, okay. Sure.
You're gonna get this. The cover of Time magazine. This only happened once.
I got
once.
It. Okay. You've
already got it.
No. Go ahead and finish.
Okay. The cover of Time magazine had somebody else on the cover. Somebody getting ready for a big Army-Navy football game who had a record of 9-1 and was about to win the Heisman. That person was taken off Time magazine later in the week and replaced by President Kennedy. And you went on to cover that person in the great Tom Landry days with the Dallas Cowboys. Who am I talking about?
That would be number 12, Roger Staubach.
That's right. You know, they only made a couple of hundred copies, I think, Vern, and still probably the most popular and most expensive Time magazine cover today, yes?
Well, you know what? I'm reasonably sure, Sid. that Roger and Marianne have a copy of that cover in their home in Dallas. I think he told me once that obviously he understood in light of what happened, but that Time magazine had given him one of the original copies. Yeah.
Wow. Well, listen, tell me a little bit about that time before we get to modern-day college football and some other stuff you covered. I was always fascinated. I'm a Giant fan, but I was always fascinated by those teams from Dandy Don, Craig Morton, Roger Staubach, even into the Danny White era, but specifically those Staubach years, those great years, Super Bowl against Denver, great Super Bowls against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What were those years like covering Landry and those Dallas Cowboys?
Well, they were great for me in this sense. I mean, great in many senses, but I think more specifically, I was exactly the same age as all of those guys, Roger and Bob Lilly and Mel Renfro and Calvin Hill. So I not only got to experience that on the periphery of what they accomplished, but that group of guys, we for the most part, we've remained great friends. Here we are. 40 years later. So, matter of fact, we tried as a group of us, and they've included me very kindly, that tries to get together and tell old stories, which we all pretend to be true, at least once a year when Nancy and I are in Dallas. But they were magical years for a guy in his 30s. Trying to make it in this business, and for guys in their 30s who were making it in their business.
Vern Lundquist, the book is Play-by-Play, Calling the Wildest Games in Sports, from SEC football to college basketball, the Masters, and more. I know you and I had this discussion on the air. You were there, of course, in 97 when Tiger Woods was 12 better than Tom Kite at the Masters, but you do hearken back to Jack Nicklaus's effort in 1986 when he won the Masters. I think you're on record on my show, Vern, saying that may be your favorite moment ever in sports. Can you confirm that?
Yes, Ed, I and I haven't changed my mind in 2 weeks. No, it is for me, and here again, I think it's generation and age related. Jack, I'm happy to remind him on the rare occasions when I see him, but I have periodically, that he is 6 months older than I am. And we both walked with the same kind of limp. His is a hip, mine is a back. He paid me, and this is a little self-aggrandizing, but he paid me the greatest compliment. My last Georgia game, a dear friend of mine, Lauren Smith, who's been in the athletic department of Georgia for he's older than Methuselah, and He arranged for a montage of videos on the scoreboard to salute me my last game, and Jack was one of them. And in Jack's salute, if you want to call it that, and this is vaguely close to the mark, he said, well, in 86, I made the putt, he made the call, and so we're going to be joined at the hip as long as they play this game.
Wow.
And yeah, and then since I'm in this self-aggrandizing pulpit here, I was told to look down at the Georgia band after Jack had spoken, and the band, 405 strong, had spread out end zone to end zone, and they had spelled out, "Yes, sir."
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was something. Yeah, it really was.
Wow. That's great.
That's a memory that I'll store and I'll never ever forget it. But to have Jack remember that putt and that moment in the very kind way that he did is one of the highlights of my career. So for that reason, and plus the fact that it was Jack Nicklaus.
Right.
It wasn't Tom Kite. I don't mean to be demeaning, but, you know, with Tiger and Jack, you've got arguably the most, don't forget Bobby Jones, but that was before any of us was alive. But I think you could make a pretty good case that Jack and Tiger are the best ever. So that, and the Tiger chip shot is 2005 is probably 1A.
Right.
And then I was reminded by guys at Auburn, well, wait a minute. Don't forget about us, because they had that wild finish in the 2013 Iron Bowl.
Well, that was right against Alabama, right? I mean, the book talks about it. Christian Leitner, you were there for that. Let me talk you quickly. You got about 3 minutes left talking about Auburn and Alabama. Alabama looks just unbeatable. Like, they can beat the Giants, Vern. This kid, Tua, I think he's got the Heisman wrapped up already. I know Notre Dame is also undefeated. I know Clemson, who just walloped Florida State, they're also undefeated. But I got to tell you, I thought maybe Alabama and Georgia were 1-2 than everybody else. Georgia doesn't even belong. I don't know if there's a team that really even competes with what Nick Saban has done here at Alabama.
Sid, I got to see them in person 2.5 weeks ago against Missouri at home. And that was the first SEC game I had gone to since I retired. Boy, are they something else. And you know, Tua may win the Heisman without, excuse me, without ever having played in the fourth quarter. And it was interesting. I was a guest on Nick's radio show while I was down there. And a sports writer for ESPN.com, who's a good friend of mine, Ivan Maisel, was in Nick's office.
He's a great, by the way, Ivan Maisel is great, and he did a piece on suicide. He lost his son a couple of years ago after the Washington State quarterback had done that. What an amazing piece, Vern.
Yes, and he's an amazing guy. We've been here again. We've been friends. We're at different ends of the same business. But he had been in Nick's office prior to that Missouri game and had dared ask Nick if this was the greatest team he'd ever had.
Oh, well, don't do that.
You can imagine Saban's reaction.
Right.
And Ivan was at that Missouri game, and here again, we go back years and years and years, and he kind of sheepishly told me about it, and I said, Ivan, I've already heard about it from Nick Saban, so I know what his reaction was. But Ivan's question is relevant. And this is, I agree with you. I hate what's going on with the Giants from a distance, but this Alabama, and I'm being facetious.
Right.
those are pros. Sometimes they don't look like it, but,
right.
Alabama would hang in for a half.
They may have the lead at halftime. Well, listen, I got to tell you, I enjoy Brad Nessler. I enjoy the ESPN guys, Reese and Krogan, all those guys. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone, Vern, but you're always my favorite. Even Keith Jackson, I always thought you were the best. The book is Play-by-Play, Calling the Wildest Games in Sports, from SEC football to college basketball, the Masters, and more. And to speak to you twice in 2 weeks is really an honor for me, Vern, on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show and right here on Sid Sports Sunday. So thank you so much, Vern, and continued success. We love you. You're great.
Thank you, Sid, and give me a call anytime. You know that.
Thank you. The great Vern Lundquist, Sid Sports Sunday, coming right back.
WABC.
Count down on three. 1, 2, 3, Sunday!
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10.
Hey, go get it, Junior! Let's go get it!
77 WABC.
Got Danny B making picks coming up the top of next hour, and Joe Klecko and more stringer action. Do some fantasy sports here. Brandon Lee, that's our fantasy lady. She's on with us every single Sunday, and she's terrific. You can find Brandon's work at NFL.com, The Athletic, Sportsline, and Fantasy Alarm. And I recommend you follow her on Twitter. She's at Brandon Her FFB. There you have it. Fantasy football B. So here we are, Sunday, week 9, and Brandon back with us. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Sid?
I'm doing great, thanks. Not that you would have any real reason to play any offensive players on the struggling Jets or the struggling Dolphins, but when you combine, even though the weather is gorgeous in North Miami today, Brandon, the field is so bad, the NFL even has concerns about this game today. I guess it's pretty safe to assume, stay away from any Dolphin or Jet players on this soggy football field.
Yeah. I think the only person that people are talking about is Elijah McGuire. He hasn't played a down of football yet this year, but he is being activated from IR after having foot surgery in August. Bilal Powell killed it against Miami. Miami gives up a ton of fantasy points to opposing running backs, so even Isaiah Crowell might be a play here. That would be it, though, and you know they're not going to cut. They're not going to cut on this field, so it's not going to be a whole lot after contact or anything like that. It's going to be a little dicey, but I think that the running game for the Jets is the only thing that I would maybe take a chance on, just because there's six teams on bye, Sid. Not a lot of options out there.
All right, let's talk about the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers still a bit nicked up after the Rams game last week. Cam Newton, he's nicked up as well, taking on a Buccaneer team, though, that can't stop anybody. With all that said, give me the quarterback today that you like the most.
Yeah, you know what? I'm still sticking, though, I want to say, with Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton. And Rodgers playing against Tom Brady is just too good. His pride is huge. And I made the mistake of sitting him when he hurt his shoulder at the beginning of the season, and that was a mistake. So I say keep playing him. Keep playing Cam Newton, because also I don't care about his shoulder at all. Who cares about Cam's shoulder? It's all about his feet. So he'll be A-okay, too, going up against the Bucks, who can't stop a little old lady if they tried. I think this Baker Mayfield-Patrick Mahomes matchup is very interesting. Mayfield might still be out there in your leagues. A very high over-under in the 50s. And the last time that these two guys played, they combined for over 1,300 yards of total offense. And Baker Mayfield threw seven touchdowns that game and won. And Patrick Mahomes went over 700 passing yards. It should be really electric. Very cool matchup.
No, that is kind of cool. I mean, it looks totally like a top side of a Kansas City on paper, but it does beg the question, the rookie running back out of Georgia for Cleveland, Nick Chubb, what about playing him today against that Kansas City defense?
Yeah, I know a lot of people really love Nick Chubb. He's been a little mediocre since becoming the big-time starter once they traded away Carlos Hyde. Only 14 points his first week, 9 points in PPR formats. He doesn't really catch the ball, so it doesn't really matter. Kansas City gives up the absolute most fantasy points to opposing running backs. The only worry I have is that the game script is going to write him out of the run. And he doesn't catch any passes, so he doesn't really have a high floor here. It's risky, but again, with six teams on bye, you can't sit a starting running back, so he's a play.
Brandon Lee here joining us, the Weekly Fantasy Report. Matt Ryan for the Falcons playing much better lately. Falcons have a chance to even up their record at 4-4 today, albeit at the first place Washington Redskins, who've been pretty good defensively. What about Matt Ryan against that Redskin defense today?
I'm still playing Matt Ryan. The only time he was truly shut down was in week one when he faced the Eagles in the season opener on their turf when they were celebrating the world championship. I mean, it was really kind of bad conditions in general. At Pittsburgh.
By the way, he still almost won that game. He missed Jones by about 2 feet to win that game in the very last possession. So
absolutely, and people kept dropping him. And I said, "Did you guys watch the game? It was actually if they would have had that one pass interference call and then that catch, they would have won the game, and he would have scored like 14 more fantasy points." So I don't understand why people freaked out week one. And that's my point: is that that was the worst week, and actually was just a couple decisions away from being a great week. So I think that Washington, though, for whatever reason, and Alex Smith, for whatever reason, they always win football games. I think they may win this game, but I still think Matt Ryan's going to put fantasy points.
Hey, last one. Tomorrow night features the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Tennessee Titans, wrapping up a week 9 Monday Night Football. And earlier this week, the Raiders sent their best wide receiver, the former Alabama product, Amari Cooper, to the Dallas Cowboys. So hopefully he'll be the next Dez Bryant, I guess, for Dak Prescott. First game up against Tennessee. What about Cooper for the Cowboys tomorrow night?
You know, we're heading into week 9, and this guy only has 22 catches for 280 yards and a touchdown.
Well, part of that is because the Raiders have won one game this year. Derek Carr's not been the same. They can't run the ball. They have no offensive line. So a lot of that is really John Gruden's fault, not Cooper's fault.
Right, but look at Dak Prescott.
True.
Look at their coach. I mean, they're not going to throw the ball anymore either. And by the way, he only has 90 more yards and the same amount of touchdowns as Michael Gallup, who's only twice had more than one catch in a game. So he's just not productive is the problem. What you're hoping for is that they have him score a touchdown to show off their new toy. That's what happens in these trades. They want to show off the new toy, intimidate people, say you don't have tape on this. You're hoping for that. But in terms of like him being some, you know, Dez Bryant type coming in to save Dallas, I think that's going to be a stretch. But this week, hopefully they show him off.
All right. Brandon Marion Lee does terrific work. Once again, NFL.com, the Athletic Sports Line Fantasy Alarm. Follow her on Twitter at Brandon, her FFB. She's our girl every Sunday here on Sid Sports Sunday. And as always, Brandon, great job. Enjoy the football.
Thanks, you too.
All right, Brandon. We'll come back with hour number two, an action-packed hour. Danny B, he's been red hot. He's making those picks. We'll go back live to the biggest games across the NFL. And an all-time legend breaks down the rivalry that is the Jets and the Dolphins, the great number 73, Joe Klecko. Don't touch that dial. Hour number two of Sid Sports Sunday, right after these words.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, Sid Rosenberg, the stories, the stats, the edge.
9 yards for a first down, 11 for a touchdown. Newton, end zone, touchdown. Greg Olsen.
As soon as you had Greg Olsen on the backside, one-on-one, the ball was going back there.
The moments.
And the ball is loose. Rams say they have the ball as Montgomery spits it up, and it's L.A. football. Just a decision alone by Montgomery, deep in his own end zone, knowing you're going to spend time off the clock to get you the two-minute warning, and you're nowhere close to the 25, and now give it away.
Every Sunday.
Going back to the backfield. Trubisky looks left.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Smith on second down. Underneath to Peterson. Breaks the tackle. He's in. Touchdown, Adrian Peterson.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
All right, huge note, thank you, from the NFL. Demaryius Thomas traded this week from the Denver Broncos to the red-hot Houston Texans. They've won five in a row behind Deshaun Watson. They're an afternoon start in Denver, 4.05 p.m. Eastern time start today. Texans getting one on the road, love them today. So Demaryius Thomas is now a Houston Texan. Also, Bill Walton, his kid Luke Walton, I should say, got yelled at by Magic Johnson because the Lakers off to a slow start. And what did they do? They responded, went out last week behind a big effort from LeBron and others, and beat the Portland Trailblazers on the road. Lakers back in action later on tonight. That's a story worth watching. LeBron is a coach killer, and already Magic yelling at Luke Walton in Los Angeles with the Lakers. Before we get to Danny B, who's been red hot with his picks, last night, right downstairs, huge night for UFC, I believe UFC 203.
230, but yes,
whatever.
Close.
God, who cares? I know Bernie loves it. You love it. You guys even did a show here Saturday night, last night.
Huge ratings.
Did it get huge ratings?
Absolutely.
I don't know anybody who even heard the show.
It's okay. You got to believe. But it's better than what they had on.
Well, I'm sure. But more importantly, just to kind of pump up my boy Guns, I'm being honest here, to show how important he is. I know Dana White knows you, likes you.
What?
You were sitting, what, row two last night?
Row two, Cadeside, man.
Wow.
That is wild. 2 years ago, they had me in the rafters up on the press bridge at Madison Square Garden for 205.
Yeah.
Last night. Row two.
That's
man.
Awesome, bro.
That's it's such it, you know, because I'm a fan of it.
Yeah,
I've been working my tail off for it, as you know.
Yeah,
and it was awesome, man. Chris Wyman unfortunately lost. He was a long.
He always loses.
Guy.
He always loses.
I know.
He's lost like four out of five. Stop.
That is true. But he's a great guy.
Great guy.
My man Israel Adesanya. This guy is a badass.
Yeah.
Right. Fought four times in 8 months. I don't care what sport you're doing.
No, that's awesome.
Wild.
Yeah,
and he won
tough.
Last night. Cormier ended up beating Derek Lewis. We all knew that was going to happen. I lost $100 on that if I was going to bet, but it's all good. So,
all right.
Listen, man, wild, exciting. Second biggest fight pay-per-view last night, Dana told us.
Wow.
So the first one was McGregor.
Right.
This second biggest. So this beat the Tyson, Holyfield, all those. So it was a big night for sure.
Okay, a lot of morons. Anyway, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. By the way, he's a tremendous producer here, Mike Gunzelman. Today's picks and spreads analysis, sponsored by DBWins.com. DBWins.com, picking winners for four decades and betting professionally for 35 years. Check out all his work at DBWins.com.
This segment is sponsored by DBWins.com.
And here he is. He's been red hot, my dear friend, Danny B. Onculo. You can follow him on Twitter at Danny B. Sports. Is that right? At Danny B Sports, right, Danny?
Yeah, that's correct, Sid. How's the connection here?
You sound fantastic. Are you in Hoboken today? Where are you?
I am in the area, definitely in North Jersey, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. I know you didn't want to deal with the traffic today from the marathon.
Oh, no way. Hey, but first of all, I hope your wife wins it. I know it's a long shot, but I just put $1,000 on Danielle to win the marathon.
Well, she ain't going to win it, but I'll tell you what. She always...
I got to go get my money back then.
She always finishes in the top 10%. For her age group and gender and all that stuff, I mean, she's not 20 anymore, but she's in incredible shape, and it's her fourth New York City marathon. I did tell her last night that you and Jamie wished her well, so thank you so much.
Did you tell her I bet a dime on her?
I did, yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair. No, a beautiful day for a race, and let's get off to the races here, okay? Let's start with an early play, Sydney. How's that sound?
Sounds great to me, Danny B. Well, first, before you do that, you've been really hot here for like five consecutive weeks, and you do give out a bunch of picks, and I know you like, you know, your job is to sell these things, so
absolutely.
The listeners have no idea how lucky they are to get these picks for free from a guy like you who is the best in the business, but you always save a couple of really good ones for the guys that call in. So before you give me play number one, give out the phone number for the Danny B specials in the NFL today.
Absolutely. It's 1-800-308-9003, 1-800-308-9003. Sid, I have an upset today that's going out to everybody that calls, and anybody that's interested in becoming a member, I'm knocking off 70%. So automatically, you're going to get an upset. And if you want to do this the right way, grab a membership. I'm knocking off 70% off the normal membership price.
All right, very nice. DannyBWins.com is also the website. Let's get right to it. What is that early game number one, Dan, that you like today?
Well, I'm going to go starting off with Washington. They just went from 2 to 2.5. They're 5-2 playing Atlanta, who's been somewhat of a letdown. They're playing a little better of late. But I'm going with the Skins minus -2. The number's jumping, so grab it right now.
All right, the Redskins minus -2. And as Danny said, sole possession of first place atop the NFC East with a record of 5-2. What's game number two, Danny B?
Well, I got to be honest. I had Minnesota on my radar at minus -5, but with Diggs out, doubtful out, whatever the situation is, I'm going to back off of that. But I did like Minnesota, but I'm going to back off of that, and I'm going to go right to Seattle in the later game. Seattle minus -1, they're at 4-3 playing the Chargers at 5-2. You have a cheap number at home, you have to jump on Wilson and Seattle at minus -1.
They've been better. They've been surprising me. They got off to a very rough start under Pete Carroll. But I tell you, Rivers and the Chargers have been very, very solid. That's actually a very good game. Danny's telling you take the Seahawks over the Chargers. 4:05 p.m. Eastern start today as a small home favorite. So far, two home favorites, the Redskins and the Seahawks. Danny B, what is game number three?
Well, we're going to tease this these next two games, and I think you're going to like it. Very exciting, both of them. The Rams, they're minus -2 at the Saints. How do you not take the Saints at plus +9 with the 7 points that I'm going to grab? So the teaser, the first team part of this, and my teasers are what, 6-1?
Yes.
The only one I lost was like by a point last week, but hey, I'm hot. I'm going to stay hot. I'm not going to win them all, but I love the Saints plus +9, and I'm going to grab the Packers up to 13 tonight. Ooh. So I think a very smart 7-point teaser is the Saints to plus +9 to the Packers plus +13.
How could you go wrong there? Drew Brees getting nearly double-digit points. He's won six straight, and Aaron Rodgers getting 2 touchdowns. Exactly. Okay, you got to like that one. Redskins at home, small favorite. Seahawks at home, small favorite. Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers getting a bunch of points. Those are the three Danny B picks so far. Again, Danny, send out the phone number for the picks today that you're not going to tell us about right here on Sid Sports Sunday.
Well, remember, I'm also playing NBA. I'm playing hockey as well. But most people, let's be honest, they're not interested in basketball until after the Super Bowl. That's a mistake. But automatically, you're going to get my upset of the day. And again, you can save 70% off of a membership here. So everybody wins at 1-800-308-9003. And tomorrow night, you know, Dallas plays well at home. Their three wins came at home. They can't win on the road. I like the over, though, tomorrow night. The money's coming in on Dallas. They're up to 4.5, but I think the smart play tomorrow night, Sydney, is over 40
Even though Tennessee really struggles offensively.
Yeah. You know what? I think Dallas is going to put up enough points to get there close enough. But just think, I like the over better than the side. But again, the game that I really like today, it's an underdog. Anybody that calls 1-800-308-9003, automatically they'll receive that, Sid. And what a beautiful day to run a race. What's the weather out there, like 60 degrees right now?
No, it's going to be probably high, Danny, mid-50s. You don't want it to be too hot, 60s, 70s. It gets way too hot. So this is a perfect day, like mid-50s, sunny, brisk. I had Tiki Barber on to start the show, the former Giant great. He's actually running today, too. Perfect weather conditions for this New York City Marathon.
And, you know, I want to shout out to Russ Salzberg. What a gentleman. I had a chance to sit down with him for lunch earlier in the week. He gave me a pat on my back, and it meant a lot to me coming from a guy like Russ, who's been in the business 35, 36 years, been part of New York since the late 80s. So he gave me a nice compliment, and I want to shout out to Russ Salzberg, and it was and thanks for lunch. And also, I want to shout out to the mayor of Guttenberg. Can I do that? New Jersey, Wayne Zitt. He actually got out. We had a couple of drinks. I ain't going to lie. He stopped traffic, and he got me my own personal spot there in Guttenberg. So I wanted to thank the mayor for holding my spot. Wayne Zitt.
All right. There you go. Russ Salzberg, who, of course, does his podcast here at WABC every single week and texts me every Sunday how much he loves this specific segment. He loves Danny and Sid. And the mayor of what's that horrible place in Jersey?
What do you mean? There's more bars in Guttenberg than anywhere else.
I'm kidding.
It's the smallest town in North Jersey, in Hudson County, but there's more bars per capita. Wayne Zitt, the mayor. We love him. And also Gino DiCarlo.
Yes.
Got a shout out to Gino.
We love Gino DiCarlo. Absolutely. Well, listen, good luck today. You've been great on this show. People do love this segment. Once again, you can follow Danny on Twitter. He makes picks on there as well, at Danny B Sports. Check out the website, dbwins.com. He's giving off 70%.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. Also, if you want to peek into my window, just grab a thing of binoculars. I'm right on the Hudson River in Weehawken. So if you want to watch me walk around half naked, you can do that for free.
Yeah, no, we're not gonna do that part. Is that okay?
All right. Well, listen. Anyways, make sure you call. I'm just having some fun. You know me, Sid. I like to have some fun, make some jokes, make some money. But grab this underdog at 1-800-308-9003.
Excellent job as always, Danny B. Thank you so much. DBWins.com. Still lots more to do on this Sid Sports Sunday. We're going to visit five of the biggest games across the NFL today, including Packers, Patriots, Rams, Saints, and Dolphins, Jets. But talking about Dolphins, Jets, which is still a great rivalry, man, the best days probably in the 80s and 90s and 70s as well. Our next guest, I believe, is the greatest New York Jet of all time and took part in some of those great rivalries facing quarterbacks like David Woodley and Dan Marino down in Miami. There are more number 73 jerseys at a Jet game than number 12. Sorry, Joe Namath. We're going to talk to the all-time great Jet, Joe Klecko. Dolphins and Jets about 3 hours away. Right here on Sid Sports Sunday, right after these short messages.
WABC.
Let's go!
Don't miss a minute of Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Get him on demand when you want it.
Let's go! It's time to play!
OGPodcastNetwork.com and WABCRadio.com.
Dolphins and Jets, you know, it's still a big rivalry. It's one of the bigger rivalries in football. I'm not sure it's the Packers and the Bears or the Giants and the Redskins, but it's up there, and they had some great, great years, that rivalry. And, of course, that's going to kick off in a couple of hours, Dolphins and the Jets down in Miami. I'm going to say this about the Jets. Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, and he was the main reason we know why the Jets beat the Baltimore Colts and won Super Bowl III. He'll always be the darling of the Jet fan. Sam Darnold is the new stud in town. I'm going to tell you this. Even today, you go to a Jet game, you're going to see more number 73 jerseys in the stands than anybody else. And with the long tradition of the Jets, I maintain, and I mean this, the best player, including Namath, in the history of the Jets was Joe Klecko. And to have Joe on Sid Sports Sunday just hours before a Dolphin Jet game is a huge honor. So here he is, the great number 73, Joe Klecko. Good morning, Joe.
Well, you did that just how I wrote it, Sid. Good job.
You're actually a very humble guy. You know, and every time you're on, it's so annoying. I know it is, Joe, but like, I'm really upset that Gil Hodges, the former great Brooklyn Dodger and New York Met, is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he should be. But I know you hear this all the time. It gets annoying. But the biggest omission from the Pro Football Hall of Fame is you. You've said it for years. You've heard it for years, and nothing's changing. I still bother you or not really?
Well, you know, the more people talk about it, it brings it to your attention. But, you know, in my life, there's so many things, you know, especially right now, you know, I just turned 65, okay?
Wow.
So, you know, a big part of my life is grandkids, you know, so, and everything else. It does not bother me one bit, never has, okay? I always said that it's God's will, it'll be done, but, you know, it'd be nice for that accolade to come along, you know, because the Jets have pushed it very hard. The new regime, I didn't know what was going to happen, but the Woody Johnson regime has actually pushed very hard, and the Jets have been really very forthcoming to the Hall of Fame about, you know, pushing me to get in there. And that's really what, you know, is needed. So it's now happening, and keep our fingers crossed.
Right. I mean, I still think you're the only guy to be a Pro Bowler at every position on the defensive line. And let's be honest, Mark Gastineau got a ton of sacks because of you. It's kind of like Leonard Marshall because of Lawrence Taylor. They had kept sacks when you were getting to the quarterback, you had seasons you may have had 30, right?
Well, you know, Howie Long and I had that talk about, you know, back in 1981 when I had 21 sacks, you know, that they probably threw the ball 20% of the time, where today, if you look at, you know, there's teams throwing the ball 60% of the time nowadays, you know. So the idea of having 20 sacks back then and 20 sacks today is a little different. Don't get me wrong. There's some great athletes out there today that are great pass rushers. I don't say that. But, you know, to do it, you know, back then, you know, with that many sacks, people don't realize that.
No, I agree. By the way, that year, 81, Joe Klecko won NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He was also a four-time Pro Bowler. I know you get to the Jets in 77, and the Jets, long after Namath, had won the Super Bowl, trying to get something going again. That was a pretty good year when I think about it, Joe, because 77, the Jets get you on the defense, and that same year, Wesley Walker on the offense. So right there, you know, things are on the build in 77 for the Jets.
They had probably one of the greatest drafts they ever had. We had Marvin Powell as a tackle, Dan Alexander as a guard, you know, Wesley Walker, like you mentioned, and stuff. We had a pretty good draft that year, and a lot of secondary-type guys who lasted a good while were big contributors. That was probably, you know, as far as getting our name in the book as far as going forward, we did a lot with that year with all the guys that came in.
Now, you had the wrong Alabama quarterback there when you got there. Namath was already gone.
Namath, you know, what a great guy. You know, and he takes the heat for so much up there. He really does. You know, but, you know, hey, Richard, nobody was tougher. You know, I've seen him take shots at his back for his ribs and, you know, just get out there and compete. And, you know, listen, he did what he could with what we had. And, you know, listen, we love him. You know, it would have been nice to go a little further because we had some pretty good teams in the early 80s, you know. And, you know, a couple missteps, you know, and we probably could have been there. And, you know, I don't want to even talk about that game down there in Florida. So, you know.
Well, but we're going to talk about it. We're talking about Richard Todd, of course. And unfortunately, on that day, he found A.J. Dewey more than your own wide receivers. But on a serious note, I worked all those years, Joe, as you know, down in Miami. And you were great to me. You were on my shows all the time. And Dolphin fans love and respect you, even though you played for the hated Jets. But I remember talking to guys like Kim Bocamper, you know, and he'd be like, oh, those guys, Klecko and all these guys kept saying
time and time again. They were better than we were. And Kim would go, let me say something to you, Sid. We beat the Jets three times that year. We beat them twice during the regular season, and then when Don Shula cheated in the playoffs. That's what he said. He didn't say that part. But truth is, he said, we beat them three times this year. What's it going to take for Klecko and those guys to figure out we were the better team?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if it's the point of winning three games at three times. I'd have to go back and look at injuries and stuff. But when we were peaking at that time, we were rolling. I mean, we went out to Oakland and just destroyed them in Cincinnati, and Freeman was running all over the place, you know. And we were built on speed with Freeman and Wesley especially. And no doubt it took away from our speed. If it wasn't for A.J. Dewey, okay, how many points would they have scored? You know what I mean? That's
nothing.
What I'm trying to
they did nothing. Yeah. Woody Bennett had one 1 yard touchdown run, your former teammate, and that was all they did. And I said, kind of jokingly, talking to the great number 73, Joe Klecko, Dolphins and Jets later on tonight. Today, I should say, but he was there for the golden era. I kind of joking that Don Shula cheated, but for fans that were too young, maybe weren't even born yet, the rain was terrible in Miami that day. It was pouring all night the night before. Shula never put a tarp on that field because he knew you guys had the advantage with the speed. I know the last thing you want to do is ever say something bad about, A, a great guy. Shula's a great guy, and B, one of the greatest coaches ever. But what he did really was kind of odd, no?
Well, whether you call it odd or whatever, I'm going to agree with you to the first part of your sentence. Probably one of the greatest coaches, if not ever. What a great guy, too. There's no doubt. Don Shula was a tribute to his coaching career and to NFL coaches. He was fantastic. Whether or not he did not cover, there was no rule back then that you had to cover the field. There, he created that rule by not doing it. You know, so whether he didn't do it on purpose or not, it's for pure speculation.
Right.
You know, I sit on the wrong side of the fence on this one, so I don't want to, you know, sit here and lambast somebody something about 35 years ago. But, it was a tough one. There was no doubt.
He cheated. Now, let me ask you this.
I love it.
if you didn't have Walt Michaels as the head coach and you had a Shula or you had a Chuck Knoll, you win that football game, you win a couple of Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the bad things about it is I think Walt was getting a grasp of it, you know, when he got fired in 82. And, the weapons that we had, I don't know if we were totally utilized correctly and defensively, because when Bud Carson came in 85, and we had a lot of the same guys, but not all, I think we were second or third in defense, and we just absolutely destroyed people with Bud at the helm. So coaching is such a big part of it, which you see now more than ever, okay? And I think if we would have had, like you said, that Chuck Knoll or Don Shula or something like that, things could have been different without a doubt. We had talent. We had a lot of talent.
No, you did. The great Joe Klecko. When you mentioned the 85, now, for fans that don't know this, Todd was gone. You guys drafted Ken O'Brien, still a head scratcher to this day. You let Dan Marino and a bunch of other guys go. But you drafted O'Brien. He did have some big moments and some good years, and that was his big year. 85, you guys got off to a blistering start. You drafted Altoon that year to head to Wesley Walker. You had 11 wins in a hurry. And then it all kind of fell apart in the end, and Gastineau had that stupid penalty against Bernie Kosar. But I think you would agree that that was the next time you guys came pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. And again, attributed to coaching. It really was because, the one thing that the Dolphins had during those years, and if you notice going through that whole array of assistants that they had, I remember – Sandusky was there forever. Shula never really got rid of anybody because they were good, he kept them, And it goes to show you about, the tribute to the Dolphins in those days was the coaching. If we would have been on par with them there, I think it would have been a different story without them.
I think you're right, too. Joe Klecko joining us right here. And, Joe, you spent your last year in the NFL, 87, in Indianapolis. And it's funny, you talk about your grandkids now. I can't believe, by the way, you're 65. But you got to be because I'm almost 52. But, your son Danny, I know we're getting old, Joe. Your son Danny had a terrific career. He won you know, Super Bowls, played in New England, played in Indianapolis, played in Philadelphia. So I don't know how many father-son combinations can say they both played for the same team, but you and Danny both played for the Colts.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing, too. We have that's a tough situation in my household, you know. Dan, when he received his third Super Bowl ring from the Colts, they got it in July or something. He came in the house, you know, and he was married at that time, you know, and he came in to visit, and he goes to shake my hand, and he had something in his hand. I didn't see what it was, and it was his third Super Bowl ring. He goes, "Hey, Dad, that's a championship ring if you've never seen one." So.
Oh, that hurts. Three of them. Three. You should have had a couple, and he's got three.
Exactly. And but, you know, there's nothing better son accomplished that. It's
right.
Really wonderful.
No, that is wonderful. That is. He went to Temple too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You both exactly. Went to Temple. Awesome. And, you know, for people that don't know this too, Joe Klecko was not just an amazing football player, part of that sack exchange, Marty Lyons, Abdul Salam, Mark Gastineau. Klecko was the best of the bunch. Jets had very good defenses, guys like Mel and Crable and Wright. He was the man. Klecko was the man. But not only a great football player, but Joe, you know, there was a while there where you became like this, or like a Hollywood guy. You're picking up trucks in movies, Cannonball Run. I mean, you were doing everything from football fields to Hollywood.
I was a starving thespian, as they say. You know.
By the way, unlike Cynthia Nixon, who's a starving lesbian, two different things, but close.
Bert seen an article I had in Sports Illustrated of me actually as a prank holding up a tractor trailer, and he was doing Smoking the Bandit and asked me to be in it, and then I wound up doing three movies with him.
Wow.
And then about 4 years later in Sport Magazine, I was voted one of the 10 worst athlete actors there was.
Was OJ on that list?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was in Towering Inferno and Naked Gun. Yeah. No, but how do you remember, and then we'll get to the modern-day Jets and let you run, what was the most you ever lifted? What was the biggest bench press or... It had to be something immense, like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, because my best bench was a little over 500.
Oh my god!
I had a pretty good squat. My best squat ever was 805.
Oh my god!
That was a pretty good one. Yeah,
805 pounds, yeah. Joe Klecko. All right, so listen, so you know, again, you retired from this team. It's already been 31 years, but I know you stay close. You live in New York on Long Island, and you still love the Jets. So without getting too particular about this team, because really, there's nothing to get particular about. It's about one guy. It's about the next Joe Namath, right? The next. So here comes Sam Darnold, has that great Monday night game against the Lions. He's had some good games since, but he's 3-5. Those are the facts. And he's had some bad games too. With what you've seen from the latest next Joe Namath, what are your thoughts?
I think as a prodigy, he's got it. I think as a prodigy, there's a lot there to work with. Okay. I always say, listen, I don't care what they say. And you cannot take a rookie and start him in the NFL. You just can't. I mean, guys like Belichick lick their lips at stuff like this. You know what I mean? And that's the problem of it is, you know, against Detroit, he comes out and nobody really knows him yet. He has a big game. Matt Patricia's first head coaching job in Detroit, you know, he fell on his face a little bit with that one too. So it was a perfect storm, okay? Then he starts playing guys that, you know, they know how to take that underneath away. You know, get the ball out of the kid's hands, you know, let's run the ball. All that worked that well. Then what happened is, you know, he ran a couple of good defensive coaches, started trying to force the ball downfield when he got behind. He always played very well ahead, except in the Cleveland game. He really did play bad. They were, I think, 14-3 at halftime, and they came back to lose the football game. But the other thing, you know, I think is, you know, Jeremy Bates has been okay for him, not great. I think, you know, I think you can point across the league at many different quarterbacks who are prodigies. And I think one perfect example is Andrew Luck, where, you know, he had Harbaugh in college, and then he came into the Colts, and he had Bruce Arians, and, you know, he really flourished and everything. And then once them guys left, he fell off he got hurt trying to force things. The offensive line was terrible. But it has a lot to do with the coordinator, and I think – a young kid has to be really coddled, has to have a program set up around him, you know, where he has to get the ball out of his hands. And don't get me wrong, defenses know that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, you know, they got a couple scary guys, you know, that, you know, will run down field. You know, Robbie Anderson, you know, he scares with his speed, and that's about it. But, you know, running the football is a big deal. The offensive line has had their problems at times, but defensive play against that, they make him throw the ball. So, but I think Sandler, I think he is a perfect quarterback, really, for New York. I think his attitude, his demeanor, his soft-spokenness, you know, he can't be flamboyant. You'll get, because they'll praise you and tear you down just as fast as they praise you, you know. And I think he's playing it good because they're not killing him right now because he's played bad recently, okay? But I think what it is, you watch him, he makes a lot of mistakes, but not get into particulars. I mean, he's throwing the ball downfield. He's forcing the ball. Yep. And, you know, that's because he's behind in most games. And he's not used to that, I guess, you know. And that's where the guys that want to stand on the sidelines with the microphones in their heads, they need to help him and get out of this. And, listen, he's a rookie.
Right.
I think he's going to have great years ahead of him. I think he's got a strong arm. He's a great. They say he's great. You know, in a preparation situation, he's good at that. But you know, when it gets away from script and things don't work out the way you want them, that's where he has his problems.
Hey, last thing, 60 seconds, Joe Klecko, the great Joe Klecko. When you played the Dolphins in that AFC Championship game, David Woodley, God rest his soul, he has since passed away, a very young man, he was the quarterback for the Dolphins. They went on to get beat by the Redskins and John Riggins in the Super Bowl. But those later battles with Ken O'Brien, 85-86, Dan Marino was already the quarterback for the Dolphins. I remember that 51-45 game where Wesley Walker and what was it like playing against him? I mean, and I know Danny well from my days in Miami. I just got rid of the ball so quickly. How difficult was it to play against Dan Marino?
Well, it was horrible. It really was. He had such, you know, everybody talks about, you know, he didn't run real well, but Marino had tremendous feet. You know, if you watch Tom Brady move around in the pocket, Tom Brady doesn't run, but he moves real well. And Dan Marino was that same type of guy who had great feet, avoid the rush, get away from it. And of course, he could throw the ball on a spot knowing his receivers so well while he was being hit, you know, and falling away. I think that was a tribute to him that nobody really, I think, brings out. He was probably one of the toughest guys in the pocket that I've ever seen throwing the football. Always, and again, protect the football, always protect the football, never gave up big, you know, turnovers. Marino was an exceptional quarterback. For, you know, I mean, he had some pretty good receivers, but he didn't have no great outstanding. I mean, Duper and
Clayton
were very good. But he was on the same page with everybody.
No, listen, he didn't have a Jerry Rice. He had Duper, he had Clayton. For a while, there had guys like Nat Moore, Jimmy Cephalo, but certainly he didn't have a Jerry Rice or an Andre Reed or one of those guys. Listen, Joe, it's great to catch up with you. You're always a great guy with me, a sweet guy, and you had an amazing career, and everybody in New York loves you. I mean it. 73 still lives to this day, bigger than any number, I think, in Jet history, though. On behalf of all the Jet fans, thank you for all the memories, and thanks for hopping on Sid Sports Sunday, pal. Love you.
Hey, you have a good one, pal. That was good talking to you, Sid.
You too. The great Joe Klecko will come right back.
WABC.
You gotta be ready to go.
Breakfast in bed with Sid. A dream come true. Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda every Sunday.
Man, oh man, they can't stop us.
77 WABC.
Hut.
This week's injury report, sponsored by Manhattan Sports Medicine and Wellness Group, dedicated to helping New Yorkers lead physically dynamic lives free from pain. MSM Wellness, that's the place to be. Leader in sports rehab and physical therapy. Visit them at MSMWellness.com. That big Viking-Lion matchup. Vikings big-time wide receiver Stephon Diggs, he's a no-go today, so Thielen will get a lot of work there. Plus, the running back Dalvin Cook may not play. Jets are all beat up. I believe both wide receivers, Quincy Enunwa and Robbie Anderson, out for the game against the Dolphins in about 2 hours down in Miami. And Rob Gronkowski did not practice on Thursday, back in ankle injuries. We'll see if he's to go later on tonight in Foxborough when the Packers and Patriots go head-to-head. It is time now for Around the League, catching up with all the big games across the big stadiums across the country. Brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Remember, Peerless is, in fact, America's best boiler. Go visit them at peerlessboilers.com, and you'll find a friendly dealer near you. Five big games we picked today to be live at. The first one, of course, is the Jets and Dolphins rivalry reborn. Heard from Joe Klecko a little while ago. Jets are struggling. They're at 3-5, and Miami's struggling too. They were once 3-0. They're now 4-4. They've lost two in a row. Not been a great goal for Brock Osweiler since replacing the injured Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. At last look, the Dolphins are a 2-point favorite. We go down to my former station, 790 The Ticket, where morning show co-host Amber Wilson is standing by. It's the Dolphins at 4-4, hosting the 3-5 Jets. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Sid, from Hard Rock Stadium, where we're getting a little break from those feels like 100-degree temperatures today. It will be a mid to low 80s kind of day at kickoff, so November is officially here for us in South Florida. There are concerns about the field after yesterday's weather, however. Yesterday, Duke and the University of Miami played at Hard Rock Stadium in pouring rain, and the field was an absolute mess. This may mark the second straight year the Jets are playing on a sloppy, muddy field at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins will be without starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill again, and we're getting so used to saying that over the last couple years down here, it feels like protocol. Brock Osweiler will be under center. D.N. Charles Harris and cornerback Cordarius Hankersley are also out. Tight end A.J. Darby, cornerback Xavien Howard, and wide receiver Kenny Stills are questionable and needed by this Dolphins team. On the Jets side, tight end Neil Sterling is out with a concussion. Linebacker Kevin Pierre-Lewis is doubtful. The Jets wide receiving core has been dropping like flies today. Wide receivers Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and Andre Roberts are questionable. Running back Eli McGuire is coming off the IR, but no official word on if he'll play. Both of these injured AFC East divisional rivals are coming off a couple-game losing streak, and they both need to win this one to prove that their seasons have any hope left. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Amber Wilson. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Well, thank you, Amber. So Enunwa and Anderson are not no-goes yet. Diggs is a no-go for Minnesota. They may play. Quick shout-out to Jetman, friend Rob Fulmer, and two of my favorite people, Stephanie and Ralph Perales, in Miami right now at the Dolphin Jet game, listening to Sid Sports Sunday in the parking lot, tailgating for the Jets and Dolphins. You guys enjoy the day. Another big game today. It's the biggest game of the day. The undefeated 8-0 Los Angeles Rams in New Orleans. Saints have won six in a row. Drew Brees seems to break records every single week. 8-0 Rams at the 6-1 Saints. Josh Kazenstein works for NOLA.com, and he's live at the Superdome. It's the Rams and the Saints. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Sid. It's a gray and rainy day in New Orleans, but that's not going to matter for this game in the Superdome at 4:25. The biggest game of the week, like you said, it's the Battle of the Seans. I think everyone knows that Sean Payton wants to show the younger Sean McVay that he's got a little something up his sleeve and that he's still the best offensive mind in the NFL. But this one's probably going to come down to the defense, because both these offenses are so unstoppable. Whichever defense can either create a turnover or have some well-timed stops is probably going to come out on top. But like you said, you know, Drew Brees seems to be breaking records every week, and there's nothing on the line this week, but you know he wants to get himself back into that, in the top of the MVP conversation.
All right, thank you, Josh. By the way, the Saints are a 2-point home dog today. I can guarantee you the Rams will lose their first game of the season today. New Orleans is going to win this one. By the way, seven games in the 1 o'clock hour, three games in the 4 o'clock hour. Packers and Patriots tonight, and the Cowboys host Tennessee Monday Night Football tomorrow. Game three here today, another great rivalry, AFC North. The Steelers, they are playing very good football. Ben Roethlisberger not buying themselves at 4-2-1. On the flip side, the Baltimore Ravens started the year hot. They're now 4-4, and I'm reading today that their head coach, John Harbaugh, on the hot seat. There's a big one in Baltimore today. Edward Lee from the Baltimore Sun is live at M&T Bank Stadium. It's the Steelers at the Ravens. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. As you mentioned earlier, you have two teams heading in opposite directions. The Baltimore Ravens have dropped their last two games, while the Pittsburgh Steelers have won three straight. I think the biggest concern here for the Baltimore Ravens is that they're going to play this game without their two starting offensive tackles. Ronnie Stanley and James Hurst are both out for this game. They did acquire Ty Montgomery on Tuesday, but it remains to be seen how much playing time he will get and how quickly he's acclimated to the playbook. So this is going to be a significant game, especially for the Baltimore Ravens. They need a win to stay relevant in the AFC North and to go into their bye week feeling a little bit confident and with a winning record.
All right, thank you so much, Josh. Again, that is a big one. Here's another big one. Don't look now, but the Washington Redskins stand alone atop the NFC East, kind of running away with it now with a record of 5-2. The Falcons got off this season to a very, very slow start. They're playing better now, find themselves at 3-4, a chance to even up their record at 500. Scott Allen from the Washington Post at FedEx Field, where the first-place Redskins are set to host Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sid, from Landover, where the Redskins look to make it 4 in a row against the Falcons. Now, Washington bolstered its already stingy defense this week by trading for Packers safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and maybe just in time, because that secondary figures to be tested early and often by Matt Ryan and Atlanta's third-ranked passing attack. Now, the Redskins' recipe for success during this three-game winning streak has been pretty simple. It's been a heavy dose of Adrian Peterson, who continues to defy his age, turnovers, and defense. But Peterson could find the going a little bit tougher against Atlanta without all-pro left tackle Trent Williams clearing the way. Williams will miss the game with a thumb injury. Meanwhile, the Redskins' defense hasn't faced a potent offense like this Falcons' offensive attack since their blowout loss to the Saints in Week 5. The Redskins are installed as two-point favorites at home, and weather shouldn't be a factor in this one. It's shaping up to be a glorious day. Temperatures in the mid-50s and partly sunny skies at FedEx Field. Now back to sit in the studio.
Thank you, Scott. We talked earlier about this Rams-Saints matchup. You get the undefeated Rams and Drew Brees. How about this one later on tonight from Foxborough? Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Packers are 3-3-1. They're still in that race in the NFC North. They did suffer a loss. They were competitive but lost to the Rams in Los Angeles last week. The Pats, they're on fire. Find themselves now at 6-2 and playing very, very good football. It's the Packers at the Patriots. Dakota Randall, W-E-E-I, is in Foxborough. Once again, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady later on tonight. Good morning, Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Sid. I'm here in Foxborough where the Patriots will host the Packers tonight. Important update, and you were talking about it earlier. Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Patriots are concerned over whether Rob Gronkowski will play tonight with a back injury. He and rookie back Sony Michel are considered questionable. That said, all eyes are on Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who will meet for just the second time in their careers. Rodgers beat Brady in the past back in 2014 at Lambeau. These teams have changed a lot, though. The 6-2 Patriots have won 5 in a row, but they easily have one of the worst defenses in the league, and the 3-3 Packers rank in the middle of the pack in most defensive categories. Both teams rely heavily on their high-powered offenses, led, of course, by two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. A couple other injury notes. The Packers will be without receiver Geronimo Allison, but Randall Cobb is expected to play. New England will be without star guard Shaq Mason. Weather expected to be in the low 40s, and the Patriots enter this game as 5.5-point home favorites. Again, I'm Dakota Randall for Sid Sports Sunday. Back to you in the studio, Sid.
Thank you, Dakota. A couple of other games that we did not cover live here today, but big ones. NFC North matchup, Lions at the Vikings. Again, no Stephon Diggs for Kirk Cousins today. Chiefs are 7-1. They're at Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Let's see what Pat Mahomes can do today. Also later on, the Houston Texans, they've won 5 straight. They are red hot. They've added Denver Bronco wide receiver Demaryius Thomas to that Deshaun Watson offense. They're in Denver. And finally, the Chargers in Seattle. 5-2 Chargers at the 4-3 Seahawks later on today. Should make for a great game. So there you have it, Sid Sports Sunday. Want to thank, of course, as always, Bruce Clayton. Great job on the board. My boy Isaiah, good job this morning. And the best producer in the business, fresh off his big night at UFC 230 in Madison Square Garden last night, the great Mike Gunzelman. Great job today, Mikey, as always. Certainly want to thank our guests. They were all terrific. Tiki Barber, live from the marathon. Vern Lundquist, Hall of Fame play-by-play voice, and the all-time great New York Jet, Joe Klecko. I am, in fact, on my way to Central Park, going to check out the marathon. My wife, Danielle, probably at about mile 3 about now. So we're going to enjoy the festivities with all of New York, 55,000 running strong. Wishing all you guys great luck until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on the Bernie and Sid Show right here on 77 WABC. Enjoy your football Sunday. And as always, peace!